Praise the Lord. I was glad to see all at the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I thought this was Tuesday all day. And they informed me when I got here that it was Wednesday. I kept sending Nancy stuff and I said, I'm going to use this for Wednesday night. Had her a little bit confused. But anyhow. We're just here every night anyhow, right? Doesn't matter what day it is, we're just coming to church. Well, Father, as I look around at your people, I see hearts that are hungry. I see hearts that want to change. They want to get out of this transition. They want to go into the thing that you're truly calling them forth to do. So, Father, I just thank you for your angelic host is walking to and fro throughout these chairs tonight. I thank you, Father, that you're meeting each and every need. And Father, we just thank you that our spiritual ears are open to hear what thus saith the Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's so many sick, you know, all over the world that this, whatever this thing is, it's really gotten a hold of. And I'm just glad y'all don't have it. And I'm glad you're out in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And I know you are too, because it's not a nice thing to have. Tonight I want to talk about, in holy fear, be prepared for God's judgment. In holy fear, be prepared for God's judgment. There's so much going on out there in the world, and people are really acting dumb, aren't they? Doing dumb things, saying dumb things, and you just wonder, my goodness. But, you know, we just have to keep praying. We just have to keep, we know what God's going to do, and we just have to have faith and stand in what God's going to do. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. Excuse me. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. See what God said? He was going to destroy them because their flesh was rotten. Now Genesis 7 verse 1 says, Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. How many righteous do you think God's going to find in this generation? You know, we have to really and truly think about that, and we're supposed to be one of those righteous ones, right? Verse 2 says, You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. That's pretty old to be building an ark, isn't it? And, you know, in those days, they didn't have rain. They just had the dew that came up, you know, from the ground. And so when Noah was telling them it was going to rain, they laughed him to scorn. And they didn't believe anything was going to happen. Now, all the earth, there was just one righteous man. Isn't that awesome? One righteous man out of all the earth. We just have to stop and think how many righteous are on the earth right now. Truly righteous. And if God was to say to one of us, build an ark, how many would come in the ark with us? You know, we really need to think, keep that in uppermost part of our mind. We have to really be concentrating on, are we righteous? Are we doing the things God's calling us for to do, to live holy and abide in His word? All right, what is the first question that usually pops into your mind when thinking about the subject of what should I do to be prepared for God's coming judgment? We need to know the mind of the Lord in these trying times. Everybody's situation is different, so we need guidelines or principles to follow that will apply or work for everyone. To prepare ourselves, we must first follow the principles taught in the Bible, which are to prepare ourselves spiritually. Prepare ourselves spiritually. It was a key to Noah's success during God's judgment in his day. It was a key to those in Israel who saw their needs met when God had to judge Israel. And it will be the key to our success as God's judgment falls on America. And we know God's judgment has already begun on America. But the people in the house of God are not preparing themselves for that judgment on themselves. And this is what we're talking about tonight. It has been that way since the beginning of mankind. The Lord has always been faithful to meet the needs of those who are faithfully following Him in His ways. The Lord has always been faithful to meet the needs of those who are faithfully following Him in and His ways. God has given us that promise for this dispensation also. Any Christian willing to face reality must admit that we are in serious trouble. What was unthinkable a generation ago has now become commonplace. The moral fiber that bound our nation and our people together for centuries has unraveled. The family, the most fundamental means of preserving social order, has been shattered. Greed and unethical conduct have tainted professions, doctors, bankers, lawyers, politicians, educators, some spiritual leaders, and so on. They have historically represented the pillars of society. Americans' great cities, once the principal evidence of a mighty industrial nation, are stalked by crime and violence. Sexual immorality and lifestyles devoted to self-gratification have transformed American character. Public schools, once the showplace of a young democracy, have surrendered to drug abuse, sex, and criminal violence. Our government has turned its back on the scriptural principles that form the moral foundations of this nation. Americans have reserved their most vicious attacks for children through abortion and child abuse. I don't know if you saw the on Charisma about the gospel singer who made a statement that Trump had brought God or Jesus back into the government, I think it was. And they are crucifying her, literally crucifying her because she made that statement. Now she's trying to sort of backpedal a little bit. And I thought, why are you doing that? Why don't you said it. Why don't you stand by it? You know, the people have, you know, she was booked to go to different churches. They've all canceled all the bookings, and they're boycotting her. Millions are boycotting her, saying they're never going to buy another one of her tapes. You know, it just goes on and on and on. Remember, I gave a sermon where God said that we're going to feel the Christians are now going to feel the whiplash. And this is what's happening as you read what's going on. This is what's happening. All right. So this young lady did that, but what was her name? Madonna? Madonna says she wanted to blow up the Capitol, and they're not going to do a thing with her. They're letting her go. If you or I did that, we'd be under the prison. You see, you know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, the moral fiber of America has really gotten bad. America has discarded the biblical standards on which our nation was founded as fast as yesterday news. If you can get away with it, then it's all right. Isn't that the attitude? She got away with it, didn't she? All right, if you can get away with it, then it is all right. It has become the slogan of many people. Now, let me ask you this. What's going to happen to somebody else? Because after it said they want to blow up the Capitol. You know, they've opened the door for this, haven't they? Say it's all right for you to do this. You know? something has to happen. And I know God's in control and I know God is going to do it, but we need to pray. God has told me we need to pray like never before. And we need to back our president with prayer like never before. We need to pray for one another like never before. Because each one of us in here are being fought terribly, aren't we not? And if we don't pray for one another, if we don't get together in unity with one another, you know, the enemy's going to be able to destroy. The song we sang, All My Fountains, I was telling Brother Larry last night, I said, you know, I think about unity when I watch that, because you know, whenever the song, it looks like it ends, then he does that little hop and all that music just comes together. They're in total unity. You watch that next time. They are in, not a person's out of beat with him. Now I said, Larry, now if the church would do that, you know, he's their leader, right? He's the lead singer. And so everybody's watching him and following him and they're right in sync with him. And it's just, if you watch it next time, it's awesome. I always like that part because I like the way that happens. Because if the church would just get there in that total unity, that devil, he wouldn't be able to touch any of us. He just would not. But see, we haven't gotten into unity yet. We're too busy trying to be the big dog. Too busy trying to criticize. And, you know, we can't do that. You know, there's so much these Chris Tomlin's videos that y'all just don't understand. I mean, I know why God has had me do this, because there's so much going on there. As you watch everything that goes on there, you will see that God is in the whole thing. He's in that thing totally and completely 100%. And you know, and I'm just hoping that all of you, the more you watch them, the more you'll start looking around what's going on besides him and just see how everybody else is interacting in the total unity that they're doing. It's just really awesome. And then if you watch Phil Wickham, he wants to crawl through himself. He's so excited about God. And when he sings, he doesn't know what to do. If you watch me, he doesn't know what to do with himself. It's because he loves God so much that he pours his whole self into his songs and he writes all of his own songs. See, there's so much that we are missing. And if we would just open our eyes and look, we would be like they are. We would be crazy about the Father. And everybody that saw us would know that we're crazy about the Father. Amen. Lost my place. All right. Personal accountability, respect for authority, and self-control have become old-fashioned ways of thinking. Personal accountability, respect for authority, and self-control have become old-fashioned ways of thinking. Nothing seems as indecent or repugnant. Rules are prohibited. Everything is permissible. Nothing deserves to be honored and respected. Isn't that the way it is? We know that our days are similar of Noah. Therefore, we need to see what the attitude and activities of Noah were before the great flood. Now, I've told you before that when I was first born again in 1977, God spoke to me and said, daughter, you are living in the days of Noah. And I'm quite sure we were living in the days of Noah before 1977. And so, you know, as you look at what was going on in the days of Noah, everything was very vile. It was very crooked. And so, that's what God was trying to tell me. And he gave me the scriptures where the priests, you know, were doing things after, you know, in the dark at their homes that weren't godly. So he was telling me, my church is corrupt. Well, I told you. I said, God, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And he said, so's my church, daughter. Then that blew my mind. And so I started looking at the church. And you know what? He's right. He's always right. But everything he was showing me was that the world is a mess, the church is a mess, and right now God is rebuilding the church. He's restructuring the world, and a whole lot of changes are taking place. And we have to make sure that we are prepared for the judgments that are coming upon the land. And we have to make sure that we're following God with all of our heart, because if we are, then he's going to take care of us. None of us sitting here tonight should have any fear about the future whatsoever, if you're following God with all your heart. If you're working at becoming holy, and if you're getting rid of all that old dumb junk in you, then you shouldn't fear anything whatsoever. Nothing. Because God said, I have you. I have your back. I'm here to say, I have your back. All right? But if you're not striving for all that, then you're in trouble. You're in really deep trouble. And I would really be looking at getting closer to God than what I am right now tonight. Or at Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That's God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See that? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Now look at this. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God said, build an ark, Noah. And Noah started building an ark. And it says everybody came by and made fun of him, laughed him to scorn, but he's still building his little ark. Well, it was a big ark. And then one day, they were not laughing anymore, because the rains came, the flood came. They could not get in the ark. They would stand out there and they drowned. Those same people who were laughing Noah to scorn and ridiculing him were standing there drowning as little Noah was going on with his boat. That's the same thing that's going on in the body of Christ right now. People are being laughed to, you know, people who really follow God with all their heart, really teaching holiness and righteousness, they're being laughed to scorn. One day, they're going to see that you were right and they're wrong. Do not let anybody get you out of the will of the Father. Do not allow anybody to make you believe that what you're doing is not right. Because God said we have to be holy as he is holy if we are to be used by the Father. The first thing that caused Noah to prepare himself and his family was his faith. He believed God's warning. See this. You know, all right, so my granddaughter now, you know, Alicia, who's in the hospital, they're now looking to put her on the list for a new liver because her liver is just about totally gone. And, you know, she's been out of the hospital and, you know, I just never thought anything of it. But yesterday, yesterday morning, she went to the hospital and she called me and told me what the doctor said. And I started uncontrollably crying. And when I do that, I know that something's not right. And so after I got off the phone, God spoke to me. He said, daughter, this sickness will not be unto death if you all watch as you pray. So see, she could die with this because her liver is totally shutting down. But God said, you have to pray, but you have to watch because the enemy is trying to take her life. You understanding this? So I have to be careful how I pray. I have to be careful that I am praying all the time and that the people I ask to pray with me and agree with me, we're all in one mind, one accord, and we're believing that what God said is going to come to pass as we watch how we pray, that he's going to bring her through this thing. Right now, they can't, you know, she's so full of fluid that she's as round as she is tall and very, very uncomfortable. And they can't take the fluid off of her because her blood is too thin. Then there's two or three other things that are wrong and they could kill her. So, you know, we're praying and believing that things will line up so they can take this fluid off her because she's so miserable. So that's all we can do. And all I can do is say, God, you said if I prayed, the devil couldn't kill her. So here it is, you know, Noah, the first thing that caused Noah to prepare himself and his family was his faith. So your faith has to be active in everything that you do. You have to have faith. Every time God asks you to do something, you have to have faith or it's not going to work. And you have to believe God's warning. God warned me, if you don't pray right, the devil will take her. So I believe God's word. And I am walking in holy fear and making sure I'm doing it just the right way. See, we take things too lightly and we need to listen to everything God is telling us about situations. And we need to have faith knowing that if God spoke it, it's going to come to pass. All right. To prepare ourselves for these last days, before we do anything else, we must believe that God's judgment is going to fall. And it is going to fall. It is already falling. When? We don't know the exact time. How? We can only speculate. Will we still be alive? We don't know when his final judgment comes. These things are not the issue. All right? The issue is, before we will accept direction from God in his word about what we should do to prepare ourselves, we must first believe what God's word warns us about. That's the issue. We have to believe what God warns us about. All things in our relationship with the Lord begin with our faith. The same truth applies in this situation. If we don't believe that judgment is coming, and in some areas it has already begun, then we won't be willing to step out in faith to follow the Lord's leading on how we should prepare. The second important thing we learn about Noah's preparation is his attitude. After receiving a warning from God, which he believed, he stepped out in faith with an attitude of holy fear within his character and took action. After receiving a warning from God, which he believed, he stepped out in faith with an attitude of holy fear within his character and took action. This is what we have to be, this is a place we have to come to also. This is critical. Holy fear is what motivates humans to adhere to God's standards and not give in to worldly standards. Holy fear is what motivates humans to adhere to God's standards and not give in to worldly standards. Godly standards have been lost in Noah's days, but Hebrews 11 said, in holy fear he built. So let's read Hebrews 11:7 again. So I said, godly standards had been lost in Noah's days. Now, verse 7 says, by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. See that? He was moved with godly fear and started to build that ark. Some of you need to be moved by godly fear and start doing the things by faith that God has told you to do. I looked around tonight during praise and worship and I saw some people in here. I thought, now why are you even come into the house of God? Because you're standing here like, well, I got to stand here and put up with this till it's over. No, you don't. God doesn't require you to come and stand here and, you know, and suffer through praise and worship. He doesn't ask you to do that. He wants you to come into the house of God with godly fear and just praise him. Come on. What did I tell you last night? If you can't carry a tune to the song, then just sit and let God worship the Father quietly. Just let him wash over you. I looked back last night, I saw somebody doing exactly that, and they were really lost in the Father. You know, we need to quit acting out our flesh, and we need to start moving in the Spirit, and just let God do whatever he wants to do with us. Now, walking in holy fear led Abraham to take action to save his family. God's been dealing with you husbands. You need to love your wives. Now, if you were Abraham, he would love his wife instantly because he had a godly fear of God. Godly fear. And he believes what God tells him. And he would start loving his wife like you wouldn't believe, but not you guys. No way. You don't have a godly fear because you are not loving your wife like you're supposed to. All right. Walking in holy fear led Abraham to take action to save his family. He trusted in God and his word completely. He trusted in God and in his word completely. His obedience was foremost in his mind. He had to be obedient to God. Why? Because he had a proper fear or respect for the Lord. Now, how many of you in here? He trusted God and his word completely. How many of you do that? Truly, not just with your head, but truly do that. His obedience was foremost in his mind because he had a proper fear or respect for the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:12, says, learn to fear the Lord, your God. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Proverbs 16:6 says, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. 1 Peter 1:17, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. See that in Acts 9:31. Then the church was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, living in the fear of the Lord. This was in Old Testament, New Testament. The body of Christ does not have a proper fear of the Lord. We just willy-nilly do our thing. And we can't be willy-nilly no more. We have to be holy. We have to have a reverent fear for the Father. And we have to be obedient to what he asks us to do. Now, these are just a few of the many verses that touch on the subject of having a proper fear of the Lord. To have a holy fear is to stand in awe of how and have a deep respect for God's holiness and his standards. To have a holy fear is to stand in awe of and have a deep respect for God's holiness and his standards. To have a proper holy fear of the Lord means, 1, to seek his will in all things. 2, to examine every aspect of what is going on in our life with God's word. See, we don't even do that. The body of Christ is not where we should be. I know there's many in the body of Christ, I'm not talking about here, but many in the body of Christ, they don't seek God's face for nothing. They just do. And when they just do, it doesn't work out, and then they blame God, though. Everything you do, you should seek God's will first. Now, not being in God's will should be a deep concern and a driving force behind every thought and action. Not being in God's will should be a deep concern and a driving force behind every thought and action. Holy fear says, is this pleasing to God? Holy fear develops a heart that is pure, open to conviction and repentance. It allows the Lord to open our spiritual eyes. Holy fear gives us discernment. Let's read those again. Holy fear says, is this pleasing to God, the way you're treating your wife? The way you're treating your children? The way you're treating your friends? Holy fear develops a heart that is pure, open to conviction and repentance. It allows the Lord to open our spiritual eyes. Holy fear gives us discernment. You know why the body of Christ doesn't have discernment? No holy fear. To keep in line spiritually, a Christian needs to have a fear of the Lord. If we don't have a proper holy fear, we will take certain spiritual things for granted. I definitely don't take my salvation for granted, like a lot of people do. My word says it work out my salvation daily with fear and trembling, does it not? A lot of people just say, well, once saved, always saved. Whoop. You know, do whatever you want because you're going to go to heaven no matter what. That is not in the word. We have to work out our salvation daily. Now, wouldn't it be ashamed if you walked with the Father for 10 years, then you decided to commit adultery, you know, A-D-U-L-T, and the second you decide to do that, you had a heart attack and died, and you go to hell. Wouldn't that be terrible? You know, come on. If we don't have a proper holy fear, we will take certain spiritual things for granted. We lose our sensitivity and alertness to the influence of the world around us. Isn't that the truth? We lose our sensitivity and alertness to the influence of the world around us. We can easily develop spiritual pride and take liberties which will not only affect our spiritual walk, but will hurt others. You see that happening all the time, don't you? We can easily develop spiritual pride and take liberties which will not only affect our spiritual walk, but will hurt others. You see a lot of pastors, you know, being exposed for what they're doing. They were taking liberties that they shouldn't have taken. And now they got exposed. That's a shame. That happens in government. That happens in jobs. It happens in homes. It happens everywhere. And see, if you really had a holy fear of the Father, that wouldn't happen. Without holy fear, our heart can quickly become hypocritical in certain areas. We don't have a fear of sinning like we should. We become negligent in seeking righteousness. Little Gabriel said to me the other day, I said, Gabriel, you've been lying to me. How can you have been lying? He said, well, if I lie to you, I don't get in trouble. So him and I had a long talk about lying. I said, you're going to get, I said, I always know when you're lying. So from now on, you're going to get corrected whenever you lie. Can you, yeah, that's just like humans, isn't it? You know, the truth is better than a lie, guys, because eventually you're going to have to own up to the lie you did anyhow. I was glad my father, boy, he beat that into me. You don't ever lie. You don't ever steal. Amen. Where am I at? To be prepared. To be prepared for the coming judgment will require the same on our part as it did on Noah's part. If your standards as a Christian allow you to walk along the edge of darkness, then it is a sure indication that you don't have the kind of holy fear towards God that Noah had and what Scripture talk about. I'm going to read that again. If your standards as a Christian allow you to walk along the edge of darkness, then it is a sure indication that you don't have the kind of holy fear towards God that Noah had and what Scriptures talk about. We must strive to stay as far away as possible from worldly standards and give no advantage to Satan. Our habit of mind must be to have a strong desire to avoid sin at every turn. Our habit of mind must be to have a strong desire to avoid sin at every turn, to walk uprightly in a manner pleasing to him, and to live in awe of the Lord. Are you seeing this, guys? That is what it will take to build the ark we need to keep us safe from the pressures, temptations, and trials of our day. Judgment awaits around the corner, so we must do what Noah did. We must start with a proper fear of the Lord. Other scriptures you can study at home about God's judgment are Isaiah chapters 1 through 5. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:13 says, when I shut up heaven, this is God speaking, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. See the conditions God has there? You know, God said, if I shut up the rain, when it rains, it's a sign of God's blessing. And so he said, when he cuts off that rain, then you're in trouble. But if you humble yourself and pray, right? The first if condition is will humble themselves. We might do the other things mentioned in this verse, pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. But if we have not first humbled ourselves, it looks like God cannot lift his hand of judgment. It looks like he's going to have to judge us. You need to read that scripture. You need to get these things in your heart. You need to quit walking around with your head in the sand. And you need to understand, you need to get your life right, or you're not going to go to heaven. You need to understand, if you're not walking right, you affect everybody around about you. You're going around saying, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, and you're doing the same thing the world is doing. What witness is that? It is no witness. And you know, you say, yeah, I'm a child of God, and you're being ignorant to your husband, or you're being ignorant to your wife. You know, what kind of witness is that? That's what the world does. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be working to be the bride without spot or wrinkle. We're not supposed to be, I'm hearing God say, hanging around with the crowd. We're supposed to be different. And he's saying we're supposed to be unique in everything that we do. He's saying everything we do should be so unique, it'll cause people to look at us and wonder why we're doing what we're doing. And then when they ask us, we can say, because I'm a child of God, and God has spoken and told me to do this. And God's saying, and you know how many souls you'll win for me if you'll just walk in my precepts and in my ways? Amen? All right, you know, so I took in this young man off the street. He was living in the woods. And God said, bring him in and make him part of your family. So that's what we've done. Well, he was wanted. He had for violation of probation or something or other. And he was in a car last night, and the car got stopped. He wasn't driving, but the lady who was driving was high. And so they took his card, and guess what? They pulled him in too. first thing they did, he did was call my grandson and say, well, you tell everybody that I really enjoyed my time with you all, but I'll see you when I get out. And my grandson said, well, if you need any help, call us back. So he told him, he said, I live with, you know, a pastor, you know, and whatever. And so they let him out on his own way. You call it reconnaissance. You know, is that what you call it? And he has to go to court in March, but he said to my grandson, I've never had a family that cared for me. He said, you people, you called, you was trying to find me. We did, we called around. He lived with me for Africa a couple months, right? I didn't even know his last name. And the police said, now, somebody's in your home and you don't know their last name. He said, what is wrong with you people? I didn't care what his last name was, you know? I didn't need to know it. But anyhow, Larry went and got him last night from the courthouse and brought him home. And he just couldn't believe that people cared that much for him. And now he wants to turn his life around. He wants to go to rehab and get his, you know, well, he has to go to court in March, but he wants to get all this behind him and he wants to walk a good life. He said, I've never seen so much love and so much caring as what's in this house. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I said, well, God told me to take you in and treat you like family. So if you do something wrong, we'll chew you out. I said, if you do good, you'll be fine. And I said, so you'll be treated just like family. And we do treat him just like family. But his whole life is now, his whole mindset is different. He's starting to think different. See that? By faith, I took this young man in. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know he had bench warrants, whatever you call those things. I didn't know anything about him. God said, bring him into your house and treat him like family. That's what I did. By faith. Knowing that my father never asked me to do anything that's going to bring me any harm. Amen? Come on. Where am I at? Where am I at, Nancy? One of God's purposes in bringing judgment upon a person or a nation is to humble them. Oh ho, look at you. God's been telling you to humble yourself. So one of God's purposes in bringing judgment upon a person or a nation is to humble them or deal with the pride in their hearts. Hello. Come on. Pride stands in the way of true love. To give of oneself, which is the very nature of God. You can't give of yourself if you're full of pride. You just can't do that. Pride is the opposite of being broken. A heart God revives is a humble and broken heart. And we have all those scriptures up there. Pride has become one of our greatest spiritual problems in the American church. We deal with pride in this church all the time. But one thing about it is that the people with habit are crucifying it. And they're seeing themselves set free. That's what God looks at. That's being humble. The second if condition in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is to pray. And the third if is to seek God's face. The fourth if condition God required in time of judgment is to turn from their wicked ways. And to turn from means to repent. All right? These are the things we must do to get back on the right track with God. Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, repent, and seek God's righteousness. Then God says, if we will do these things, then will I hear from heaven. That means he'll hear our prayers and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, which means bring revival. You see what God's doing here in this revival? He's getting us prepared for the revival. For the great revival that he's going to pour out. He told me to title this In His Presence. He's trying to get us all the worldly junk out of us. And he's trying to get us to learn. This is why we sing the songs we're singing about love and everything. He's trying to get us in his presence. He wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants us to know that he cares for us deeper than anybody could ever care for you. Nobody can ever match the love of God. Absolutely nobody. So if you're trying to find some great big love, then fall in love with God. He'll satisfy that longing. You know, you get married 6 or 7 times or 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times because you're looking for something you're never going to find in an individual. You have to look to God and he'll fill all those voids. Then when you do get married, you'll be happy. You'll be happy with one you're with. You won't have to go around looking for everybody else. I'm sorry, but flesh is not going to fill those voids in you. God's formula for you and me to prepare ourselves for his coming judgment is as follows. First, we must believe God's warning that his judgment is coming. Then we are to move with a holy fear in our hearts to build an ark of protection, which today would primarily be a spiritual ark. We must follow his instructions of humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, repenting, seeking his righteousness, and expressing revival in our heart. These are his ingredients to build our spiritual ark of protection before the Lord. If we do this, we will be prepared. If we do everything I talked about tonight, then you'll be prepared for any judgment that's coming. His promise is to heal our land, which is our heart, and provide for our needs. Now, I believe God when he told us that a couple years ago. I believed it when he had me tell you that if we will draw so close to him that nothing can separate us from him, that he would take care of us when these dark days came. I believe that. I still believe it. And I walk in holy fear, too, of God. I don't want to do anything that would cause anything to come between me and God. I'm making sure I'm staying as close to that cross as I can possibly stay, you know. And I'm making sure that every day I seek God's face. If there's anything in me that's not of you, get it out of me. I repent every day if he tells me something's wrong. I get that thing cleared because I want to be walking close to him when that judgment falls. I do not want to be out there making some dumb mistake. Are you hearing this? Isaiah 54:14 is a word from the Lord for those who are willing to make the proper preparation. It states, in righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prosper, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. The first time somebody split my church, well, God's church, Lighthouse, I went into the church sanctuary and I laid on the floor crying out to God. He said, daughter, rise up, read Isaiah 54, and that is your Bible scripture. You stand on that from now until the day I bring you home. That's a great big promise from God, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, I've stood on that ever since the day God gave it to me, and I have seen this, every bit of this come to pass in my life. If you will humble yourself and get a holy fear of the Lord, he's going to take care of you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you exactly, like he told me, he said, you stand on Isaiah 54 and don't you dare waver. I'm taking care of you. And he's always taken care of me. Even before I became born again, he always took care of me. But once I was born again, he moved in my life mightily. So I'm really encouraging each and every one of you in here tonight to get rid of your worldly junk that's killing you. And I'm really encouraging you to get a holy fear of the Lord, to humble yourself, you know, lay out before him, humble yourself, and just seek his face. Cry out to him continually until you know that you know that you know that you're okay with him. And don't take anything for granted. Please don't take anything for granted, because if you do, that's when the enemy's going to jump in there and he's going to throw a big bomb into your life. We can take nothing for, we can't even take ourselves, we can never take our salvation for granted. Never, absolutely never. Because the enemy works on us every day to steal our salvation, whether you know it or not. I want you to be very watchful who you sit under, whose teachings you sit under. I want you to be very watchful who lays hands on you. Because the enemy's out there to steal, kill, and to destroy. You know, God said, we said here tonight that if you had holy fear, then you would have discernment. Now, if you don't have discernment, evidently it's because you don't have holy fear. God's been telling us that he wants each and every one of us to have holy fear. I mean, discernment. So the only way we're going to get that evidently is if we have holy fear. I'm asking each one of you tonight to really search your hearts and search it really deep and wide. And I want you to ask yourself, how come I was so unfair for God and now I just go into church and say, you know, I'm here. And you don't get a thing out of the service. You sit there with your arms crossed, you sit there with your face blank and you just stare into the space. What happened? Something had to steal your first love. Something had to come in there and wreak havoc in your life. You need to find out what it is. And if you seek God's face, He's going to tell you what it is. I know whenever that happened to me, you know, I just couldn't figure out what was going on in my life. And God said, daughter, you left your first love. Come back to me. He said, you allowed the situations, even though the dark situations in your life to draw you away from me. Now come back to me. And until He told me that, I was in a mess, trying to figure out what was going on in my life. And so I very quickly ran back to the Father and repented, humbled myself and repented and really cried out to Him. And I said, I don't know how I walked away from my first love, but I'm back. This time I'm going to stay. The devil can't throw anything at me would make me ever do that again. That was a terrible dry time in my life. And I don't know about you, but I don't like dry spells. If you stay connected with the Father, you know, and I took my eyes off of God and I put my eyes on the situation around about me, which was hell, living in hell itself. And that's how I left my first love. I took my eyes off of God and looked at the situation every day. Don't look at your situations because God's in those situations. He's in those circumstances. He can bring you up out of that miry clay. He really can. And He can put your feet on that rock and they'll never depart from that rock. But you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to admit your mistakes, you know, to God. And you're going to have to just draw close into His bosom and then stay there. Literally stay there. Now, we still have to function, right? We're still human beings. We still live in the world, but we don't need to function with the world. We can function in the Spirit, and we can stay in the Spirit, and we can have a holy fear of God, and we can receive everything God has for us. I'm hearing God say, this is a great day to dance and rejoice before the King of Kings, because I'm getting ready to pour out a blessing that you won't be able to contain if you've humbled yourself and if you prayed and sought my face and repented. Amen. You know what's happening right now, saints of God? God quit handing everything out on a silver platter. He did that for years and it didn't help anything. Now we're down to the hard core. God said, you're either going to do it or you're not. No more silver platter, no more spoons. You have to make a quick choice. And I'm hearing God said, you have to cut the cord with the world and you have to serve Him completely. And that's not a hard thing to do. It really isn't. You make it hard because it's very simple and easy to do. You make it hard and you make it complicated. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. So quit making it hard and complicated. And just say, God, I surrender. I just totally and completely surrender to you. He's well able. I'm standing here tonight to tell you He's well able to see you through any valley. He's well able to pull you up out of the miry clay. He's well able to take care of your enemies as long as you stay in His presence. Tonight, you have to determine your heart whether or not you're going to have a holy fear of the Father. You're going to have to determine, do I really want to go all the way with Him and believe what He tells me and then walk in faith and just walk it out. God told me about 6 years ago now, He said, daughter, from this moment forth, your walk with me is going to be total faith. It's going to take total faith to do what I'm calling you forth to do. And He was so right. Because some days were really hard. But I remembered what He said, it's going to take total faith. And as you walk in that faith, I'll bring you forth. So I'm telling you, I'm standing here to tell you tonight that if you don't have faith, you're not going to make it. You have to have faith and you have to have trust in God that He's an all-seeing, all-knowing God. He formed you in your mother's womb. He called you forth. And He has a destiny for you to fulfill. But it's all through faith. If you're trying to get your heart prepared, God said, that's fine. But the altar's open if you've already prepared your heart and you want Him to give you that special touch that will cause you to walk in holy fear. And you will no longer transgress the laws that He placed in His word. But you will follow His word, His law, totally and completely. Not ever wavering ever again. God said He wants you to tune into heaven when you're up here tonight. Tune into heaven. Open your ears. Open your spiritual ears and listen for the voice of the Father. Don't be content where you're at when you walk through these doors. Because God has so much more for us and He wants to take us so much higher. Please seek the higher walk that He has for you. Kelly, would you move that for Him? Some of you have been led astray and God wants to bring you back into the sheepfold. He's anointing you right now to be a mother to the motherless. And a father to the fatherless.